Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as Manchester United descend more into chaos, and we pick up the pieces as the United fans. Apparently, Michael Carrick is willing to be Solskjaer's assistant. That is coming out this morning. Also, that he was edging closer to Solskjaer in their choice for interim coach. But does it really matter when we pick up the pieces of last night and the last few days and where we actually are at? What I would say, first of all, is that some of you need to be very careful about the trap that the Glazers have set for you. I mean, I was watching the fan forum last night and I thought some of the comments against Beth were abuse, and we don't condone that. You're better than that. You're much better than that. And I've said to this to you at the start of the week, we've got to stop fighting with each other, because that's how the Glazers and Ineos survive. They purposely are vile people who pit us against each other and make us start arguing against each other. I mean, I've seen people this morning having a pop at Gary Neville, Matty FC. We saw it with Beth last night. We've seen it with Sky. Grow up. Why are you arguing amongst yourselves? It's exactly what they want. They want you to express your anger against each other. And especially in this community, I'm very big on respect for each other. Even though we can get angry, we must respect each other, and different opinions make for better conversation. So look, come on, if you see it in the chat, call it out. We can all have a disagreement. I think bringing Solskjaer back is an absolute embarrassment. But I respect those people who want to sing the song and are happy about it. I think sacking Amrim before the end of the season will end up making Amrim a, you know, martyr. I think he will end up looking really good in time, Amrim. But some of you wanted to sack Amrim. I respect that. So look, you know, we all dream the same dream and we all want the same thing. The problem is the people who own the club don't. You know, I wouldn't mind some of you who've got different opinions to me being in charge of Man United, because I know you want Man United to be successful, and you might make mistakes, but you want us to be successful. The problem is the owners are toxic and they're poisonous and they're idiots, and we're left with them, which is ultimately the problem. So, look, let's start off with where we're at. I mean, look, I think the morning after the night before, I think the big problem with last night is that we're not in the top four. We've dropped a lot of points to teams below us. And it's going to be very, very difficult for us to, you know, I think before the Leeds game, I was very confident we would get top six. When Amrim left, I expected us to beat Burnley, and I thought we had a reasonable chance of getting top six. I'm now looking at it and I'm like, even top six is looking like a challenge now, especially if we don't buy anybody in the midfield. So I think dropping points yesterday, and look, I've seen the reaction. A lot of people are arguing. I don't see the positives last night. Like, I don't. I know there are some positives, but I don't see the positives from last night, because Lacey will be a good player no matter what, if you know, he will. And back four is what we're going to play for the next few years anyway. So there's no, I don't see anything from last night that makes me go, oh, everything's going to be okay. I look at it and go, that's basically on the board that we've dropped points there because they've disrupted a team. They looked disrupted as well. You know, even if back four is the way to go, they looked like a team that had been playing a different formation and they didn't have a lot of fluidity. And, you know, apart from a lovely cross from Dorgu and a moment of magic from Bruno and nearly a moment of magic from Lacey, it was the same old Man United. And we somehow managed to concede two goals to Burnley, who don't score goals. So I think, you know, as I said, in relation to last night, I have a very, very strong feeling that over time, much the same as Mourinho, Amrim being sacked, he's going to come out of this looking a lot better than Man United. I think they've made a massive mistake. And it will. The trouble is when people are removed for speaking out, they tend to end up being martyrs. And I think United will make a martyr of Amrim, because I think this is going to get a lot worse. I do. I really think it's going to get a lot worse. I don't think they've got a clue what they're doing. I know how I'd map my way out of this, but they're not going to do it. They're going to keep trusting Wilcox and they're going to keep trusting Berarda. And I tell you what,
if there's any United fan that sees those two in the stands last night and thinks these are the guys to get us back on top, I'll have a pint of what you're having, because they just do. They not even in a horrible way. They give off no aura at all. Those two people give no aura at all. If you walked into a pub and you saw those two having a pint, you wouldn't go and have a drink with them. You'd sit on your own. I'll get better conversation on my own. Like, they've got no aura at all. They're really dull and unappealing people, and they do not give off any Man United vibe at all. And they're the people in charge with taking us back. That's a big problem. You know, grown-up time, grown-up conversation time. Simon Jordan's got aura. You know, Gary Neville's got aura. Jamie Carragher's got aura. You know, you might think I've got aura. You might think another content creator's got aura. You know, Anton Deck have got aura. You know what I mean? I'm not saying these people aren't idiots, but they've got personality. They've got something about them. You might hate, Piers Morgan's got it. You know, you might hate him, you might like him. That's aura. That's personality. They've got no aura at all. There's nothing about them that makes you go, I want to listen to you. I want to trust you. And these are the people leading Man United. And Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I just don't get it. I mean, he just must be an absolute clueless individual when it comes to football. Because I would rather have Simon Jordan and Gary Neville as a CEO and a director of football, because I think personality, aura, drive is really important in an entertainment industry. This is an entertainment industry. Some of you will go, well, that's a load of nonsense. You know, Berard is a good businessman and Wilcox is very technical, but it's an entertainment sport. You know, look at all the good coaches, all the good CEOs. Like, you know, personality is really key, and we've got no personality in that football club at the moment, so it worries me. But look, we're here. It's a new show at 10 o'clock. Let's talk about the latest news, and then we can get into some other stuff. I'm really worried about the Solskjaer-Carrick thing. I'm really worried about it. They're obviously going to give Fletcher the game against Brighton, which is not going to be easy. I mean, I'm really hoping that Brighton are going to rest players because it's the Cup. I don't know whether they will, because they're not in Europe. We might be quite unfortunate in the way that the draw has gone for us, because we haven't got anything else. We need this. We need to stay in the Cup. But if we'd drawn, like, if we'd drawn Villa, they'd play their reserves. If we played Palace, they'd play their reserves, because they're in Europe and they're tired. I don't know whether Brighton will do that. And if Brighton come with a strong team, it will be a difficult game for us. A very, very difficult game, and we need to win that game. So Fletcher will be in charge for that. And I feel if Fletcher beats Brighton, then why would you not keep him, you know? Because that's going to be a tough game. Anyway, that's another conversation. So the interim conversations are carrying on between Solskjaer and Carrick. Now, one story says that Carrick is now edging ahead of Solskjaer, and then the Mail are saying that Carrick's willing to take the assistant job with Solskjaer. We know how the club works. When there's a difficult decision, why make it? So I would imagine it's close between Solskjaer and Carrick. And if Carrick's willing to be Solskjaer's understudy, then they'll just employ them both. You know, it's the logical thing to do, isn't it? You don't have to make a decision there. But what worries me about it is that I think we need something new. I think we need something new. Now, whether that's Carrick, whether that's Fletcher, at least it's something new. What worries me about Solskjaer is the going back element. Now, look, we can all talk about the PE teacher. We can all talk about players leaking about his basic training, because that happened. And, you know, there's a lot of revisionism going on around Solskjaer. It's almost like he didn't get sacked and we paid him 10 million quid. It's all almost like we didn't get beat 5-0 by Liverpool at home. It's almost like the results weren't shit and the football wasn't great. But that's revisionism. The thing that worries me about Solskjaer is anybody can change. Anybody deserves a second chance. And he's a likable guy. But what worries me about Solskjaer, whether you want to believe the revisionism or not, is that if he comes back, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer actually holds the record for consecutive wins for an interim coach. He won his first 8 games in charge of Manchester United. Now, granted, those games were Cardiff, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Reading, Tottenham, Brighton, and the last one was a win against Arsenal in the Cup. But he holds the record. He won his first 8 games in charge as an interim. And that led to the bus song, and that led to the give him a lifetime contract. What worries me about Solskjaer is, and this is why in life I don't believe in going back. I've seen it so many times. Like, we went back to Centre Parks this Christmas, right? Last year, we went on a family break, wider family, to Centre Parks, yeah? Stayed in a lovely lodge, and it was brilliant for 3 days. There was, I think, Fury for Usyk. We watched that on the Saturday night at the sports bar. They had a lovely festive thing you could get, which was festive chips, which was chips with gravy and stuffing and cranberry sauce and everything. It was really, really nice. Did the swimming, went to the local bar. It was great. We had a Christmas dinner. We did Secret Santa. It was brilliant.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Just before Christmas this year, we went to the same place to replicate it. And there was nothing wrong with it. Year one, it was a 9 out of 10. I'd say this year, it was a 7. There was nothing wrong with it. We didn't do anything different. We did everything the same. But it just didn't feel the same. It just didn't feel the same. It didn't feel as magic as the first time. And to be honest, I don't think it was as good as the first time, even though there's no reason for it, right? I also know friends that have gone out with people, broken up, and then they get back together. And my advice has always been, don't do it, because the reason you broke up will still be there and there'll be hidden resentment, even though you pretend you're going to do it. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, they'll break up and you'll say, why did you break up? And they'll go, well, the sex was good. It always was. But it's the constant nagging about leaving the toilet seat up. And, you know, she always wants to be early for everything. And, you know, she won't let me watch this sort of stuff. And the same things start to happen again. So what worries me about Solskjaer is, it's exactly that Centre Parks thing. It's exactly going back in a relationship. You think back on the good stuff. You think about the sex. Now, that doesn't involve Solskjaer. But you think about, you know, the sports bar. You think about all the good stuff and nostalgia kicks in. And you forget the bad stuff. Yeah? You forget the bad stuff. And the reality is, what worries me about Solskjaer is, he comes in, we remember the songs, we remember the vibes, but we forget all the bad stuff. And the minute there's a bad performance, which there's inevitably going to be with this set of players, there is inevitably going to be losses. I mean, what if he beats Man City, right? And everyone's going, oh, he's at the wheel. Tell me how good does it feel? Oh, we've got, you know, we beat Man City in the Manchester derby and, you know, Wilcox is there with his top off saying, I told you, Wilcox wonder, wonderful Wilcox, walking in a Wilcox wonderland, you know? And then we go to Arsenal and we get smacked up 6-0. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, this is not meant to happen. That's what worries me about going back with Solskjaer, is because if you use Carrick and he loses to Arsenal, you go, well, look, it's new. We've never been here before. You know, we've got a crap team. It's going to take time. You know, give him time. But with Solskjaer, I just feel like, it's all vibes. The revisionism is all vibes. The whole thing is just positivity. And I don't see this team going on an 8-game winning streak. So he can't replicate what he did first time round. And also, I think a lot of people forget that beyond the interim period with Ollie, it fell off a fucking cliff when they gave him the contract. We went to Everton and got smacked up. So he's capable, and the players know he's capable, of coaching bad performances as well. So what worries me about Ollie is the honeymoon could be over very, very quickly, because it's going to be very difficult for him to replicate what he's done before. Now, that's not his fault. I understand why Solskjaer wants the job. I understand why some of you want Solskjaer. But to me, I can't believe we've got people in charge that aren't thinking like I'm thinking. I can't believe we've got people in charge that are literally just thinking, you know, forget the fact that this could blow up in our face very, very quickly. We just need a quick win. We just need to paper that crack as quick as we can. Who cares what's behind the wall, the paper? Just paper it over quickly because we're getting a load of shit. I don't think it's such a basic life skill to be aware of a lot of things are never as good as the first time. And I think that they're walking into an absolute short-term cover their arse trap because they just want to take the heat off themselves and they see Solskjaer as a deflector of it. But the reality is, it's flimsy. It's really, really flimsy because we saw last night that this whole formation conversation is such... It's... I've got to get my words right here. The formation conversation is just preference. It's not a fix. I've seen so many people, ex-players, some of you, you know-it-alls on TikTok, saying, if United switched to a back four, we'd be in a title race. If we were playing a back four, we'd be in a title race. And I'm like, what makes you think we'd be in a title race if we went and played a back four? We played a back four last night. What was better last night than, you know, the way we played when we beat Liverpool? You know, it's not the formation that's the problem. It's the inability. Football is not about formations fundamentally. It's about how you play as a team. And I can play, you know, look at Scotland in the World Cup. They probably don't have a striker like Harry Kane or Erling Haaland. So it doesn't matter what formation they play, they'll never have a striker like Erling Haaland or Harry Kane. And, you know, if you look at some of the teams that have got good attacks, they might never have defensive options like the French have got, you know? And we're talking World Cups because it's easier to, you know, you've got a lot of choice when you're an international team. Manchester United, no matter what happens, it won't make a difference with the formation. And Amrim did say this. Amrim said this and people wouldn't listen to him. He said, people talk about formations, but it's not really the formation. It's the players you've got. If I've got a really good midfield and I have to bench one of my midfielders because I'm playing a midfield two, then I think there's a question to be asked about why you aren't playing a midfield three. But I prefer the back four. Amrim preferred a 3-4-3. We never should have asked Amrim to go to a back four because that's not what he prefers. And his job is to manage. But fundamentally, we go to a back four last night and we'll stick with the back four for the rest of the season. And I guarantee you, we're going to keep shifting goals because we don't have a midfield. And actually, if you noticed last night, when Casemiro loses his runner last night against Burnley, if we're playing three centre-backs, one of the centre-backs would have picked that runner up. But because we're playing two centre-backs, we've got one less defender now. So if you run off our midfield, you're running into more space. But people don't want to have this conversation. People just want to go, I want a back four. But what you've got to realise is that we're going to probably concede a lot more goals with a back four because we've only got two centre-backs now instead of three close together to pick up those runners. We've got two who've also got a striker to deal with. So if you run off Man United's midfield now, you're running into space, which is exactly what the Burnley player did. Now, it's a fortuitous goal off Aidan Heaven. But it, where he ran last night off Casemiro, you'd have had your right-sided centre-back on him because you've got a centre-centre-back as the cover. So it creates issues. I like the back four. I prefer the back four. But it's not without its problems when you haven't got a midfield. But people don't want to have this conversation. They just want to see a back four. I want to see a back four. And with our midfield, it will still ship goals. You could argue, it'd be very interesting. So let's take from Burnley to the end of the season and then we can average how many goals we concede compared to how many we conceded at the start of the season. Because I think we're going to concede a lot more goals in a back four than we would have done with three centre-backs. That doesn't make the 3-4-3 better. I'm just saying, with the midfield we've got, that defence is going to need, is not going to get the protection it had with three centre-backs. So look, this is like, I was having this conversation this morning, actually. We didn't sack Amrim on results. I got sent something last night from a certain person who is friends with a certain person who is on the United payroll. And they're trying, they've obviously been told something by the club because it's just so obvious, the propaganda. It's just, it feels like PR. They're trying to, and the club are obviously trying to do this, they're trying to feed it out there. And I understand why the club are feeding this out there, because it makes them look good. They're trying to feed it out there that they sacked Amrim on results, and they didn't. they didn't sack him on results because Man United didn't want to sack Amorim because it's going to cost them money and they don't like spending money. If they'd given Amorim till May, it would have cost them less to sack him because he's in his final year. Plus, they wouldn't have to appoint an interim, which will cost them money. They'd just go straight for their manager. They sacked him because Wilcox wanted him to play a back four, which, based on the conversation we've just had there, is preposterous. Why is Jason Wilcox asking him to play a back four when we saw last night it doesn't make a massive amount of difference because we haven't got the midfield for it? So, effectively, if you listen to people like Romano and Ben Jacobs and David Ornstein and, you know, even Amorim himself, Wilcox tried to get him to play a back four and he basically went, fuck off. And then he's also asked for new players and Wilcox said, fuck off. So they basically got to a point where they just don't get on and you have to make a decision, and Sir Jim has backed Wilcox. But the craziness of the situation is, what was Wilcox even thinking? Why was he even asking him to go to a back four? Like, for the rest of the season, if we just stuck with the 3-4-3, we'd have been okay. I think we'd have got top six. And if we'd bought him a midfielder, I think we definitely would have got top six. We're now in a situation where Wilcox has got his way. We're not buying anyone in January and we're going to a back four. But the problem is still there. The midfield is still a massive problem. And if anything, the defence is going to be more exposed because we've only got two centre-backs instead of three. So it creates its own problem. The solution is to buy a midfielder in January. The solution with Amorim is to buy a midfielder in January. And the solution without Amorim is to buy a midfielder in January. But you could argue it's even more important with the back four because we're going to get more people running off our midfield into space now. We cannot defend a lead. The problem last night was the same problem we've had for years. We can't control possession. Our average possession is below 53% this season. We can't keep the ball. And when you go in front in the game, you've got to control the ball. If we go 1-0 up against Man City next week, we've got to be able to keep the ball and control that lead. We can't control the lead against anyone. I think most of you appreciate this, but it's a massive problem. You know, if we go 1-0 up at the Emirates in a couple of weeks, we can't just keep attacking at the Emirates. They're better than us. So if we go 1-0 up from a corner against Arsenal, we need to be able to keep, we need to defend that lead. We can't defend it. We can't defend the lead because we haven't got a midfield good enough to do it and we can't keep the ball. So,
hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I saw somebody last night saying, we're just so unlucky. It's just so unlucky how we just keep conceding when we go in front. It's not bad luck. It's not coincidence. We can't defend the lead because we're crap in possession and we've got crap midfielders. We can't control a game. Controlling a game isn't necessarily just possession as well. Controlling a game is being compact, organised, picking up the runners, you know, hard to get through. This is going to be a massive problem for us until we solve it. And I don't think we're solving it till the summer. So I am very worried about where we're going to finish in the table. And I'm very worried about the Solskjaer situation because it does feel to me like we have an ownership that is only interested in protecting themselves. And it's a masterstroke. You know, it is a masterstroke. They've massively messed up with the Amorim thing and they make themselves look like amateurs. They've then brought Solskjaer in to try and get the feel-good factor back. But what they haven't appreciated, because they've got no idea, is that Ollie replicating what he did when he came in last time is virtually impossible. You know, he had a midfield last time. He had Herrera, Matic, Pogba. He had a midfield. He hasn't got a midfield. And also, he's not got... You know, he hasn't got the fixtures he had last time either. And also, he hasn't got a team that's massively underperforming or downing tools like he did last time. So it's going to be really difficult for Solskjaer. And I think what will happen is if we pick up some bad results, those people that are positive about Solskjaer now will turn on it and go, fucking hell, Ineos, you know. And that's what worries me, really, is I think they've made a really naive decision to go back to something that we never should have gone back to, and it will never be as good. It would be that Centre Parks trip, you know? But I'm not going to sit and say I told you so. Hopefully we can steady the ship and get European football. Breaking news. So Jim has been unmasked. All this time it was Jim Carrey from the movie Liar Liar, says Hans. Good morning, Mark. Do you reckon 10th place after Arsenal, says Francis? I think looking at the league table, I mean, I sort of touched on this last night, didn't I? But I think when you look at that league table and you look at we've got Man City and Arsenal next, even if we can win one of them, I still think we're going to do very well to hold 7th. If we lose both of them, I don't think we'll be on that page. If we draw one and lose one, I still think we won't be on that top page. It doesn't mean we can't come back, but I would say that, you know, I don't know what everyone else has got in their next two games, but we might find ourselves, you know, adrift of, I mean, look, we might win both. We might win both. I mean, it's very, very unlikely. But if we did win both, we're okay. We'll hold our ground. We might even go up the league. But we're in a position now where we've dropped so many points. I mean, Burnley last night was completely on the ownership. I don't blame Fletcher. And Amram's not here anymore. And I don't blame the players to a massive extent either. I think that's completely and utterly on an ownership that has, you know, chosen themselves over what's best for the club. You could see it in the player's face. You could see it in the fans' face. It's not a good idea to sack a manager in 48 hours halfway through a season when you're 3 points off fourth. It destabilizes things. You're asking players to do something that they've not been asked to do for over a year. Everybody else is in rhythm. Everybody else is, you know, we're basically hitting the reset button halfway through the season, whereas everybody else is completely in rhythm, knows what they're doing. You know, it's just automatic. So it's very difficult to stop the car and start the car again and get back in the race. And people don't appreciate that. So I blame the owners on last night, but those 2 points dropped last night are going to be really big for us. We have got games that we can win after Man City and Arsenal, but you're going to be playing catch up a little bit. And it's a really strange season. You just don't know what you're going to get. You know, you could play at home to Fulham, think you're going to win. Fulham could turn up and be bloody brilliant. So, yeah, it's a really tough situation. And I think that the only blame lies with the club on this. Mainly for me, because they won't do anything in the January transfer window. I've got to be completely selfish and say, you know, I think sacking Amorim is embarrassing, destabilising. And I think bringing Solskjaer back is embarrassing in the sense that I can't believe we're bringing him back and ignoring all the problems that we had when he was here. But the big, big thing for me is just not doing anything in the January transfer window. I mean, there was a club last night. Spurs. I thought, you know, Spurs have just lost to Bournemouth. If they don't go and buy players now, I'll be stunned. Somebody else as well, I thought, I bet they'll go and buy some players now. I can't remember who it was. Maybe Chelsea. I bet Chelsea now will go and buy some players for Rosinha because they need Champions League football. And I thought, all these clubs are going to go and spend players because they're in a mini crisis. We're in a huge crisis and we're not going to do it. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't do it. We might desperately do it. Sometimes Man United do find a bit of money. But the fact that the plan... I hope we do buy somebody in January, but let's not forget it wasn't the plan. If they do it, it's because they're desperate. And that annoys me even more because the plan should have been to buy somebody. You shouldn't be doing it because you're desperate, you know? We lost 17 points to 12th and lower teams. It's mad, says Jordan. Do you think Amorim came to United to expose the owners and the board to try and change the culture, says Jeremy? No. Look, I think Ruben Amorim will end up being right. Just the same Ralph Rangnick was right. Just the same Jose Mourinho was right. Just the same way Ten Hag is right. And just the same way Ollie was right. You know, I think every manager that gets sacked ends up being right in some way, shape or form. Obviously, they got things wrong. But I don't think Amorim was anything other than a paid manager. I don't think he's a Man United fan. I don't think he's, you know, needs a statue or anything like that. I think he spoke a lot of sense. I think he was very passionate and he knew what he wanted to do. And the club brought him in to do it and then decided to listen to idiots. And I mean, look, the honest breakdown of Amorim's career at Man United is we brought him in to build his vision And after a year, for some reason, Jason Wilcox decided to stick his nose in and say and convince the board we need to play a back four. And that, to me, is just incredible. But we're still stuck with that idiot. So when Mbeumo's back, he'll be used the same way Rashford was. Bruno roaming around, coming way too deep to hit the long early ball to Mbeumo. The midfield will be redundant and we'll all be frustrated as Goldfridge. What I did notice last night, tactically as well, obviously I think it worries me a little bit having two centre-backs with people running off the midfield. It leaves us short. But what I did notice last night was a lot of what we've seen before. And again, this is why formation to me is irrelevant, because whatever the formation, we're always looking for that long diagonal. We're always looking for it. I mean, Bruno nearly scored from one, didn't he? That's where it worked. There was a lot that didn't work. There was a lot. There was that one to Luke Shaw as well. Remember that one to Luke Shaw at the end where he miscontrolled it? We're always looking for that. Always looking for that ball, that long diagonal. And we were doing it under Ollie. So we'll definitely be doing it again. Always looking for that long diagonal ball in behind. So I think you're right, it will continue. Sir P, thank you. Welcome to the Members Club. Thank you so much. Let me catch up on some of your comments. This current board wasn't here for the end of Ollie first time, so won't know how bad it was, says Dirty Deeds. Fan base saying so many positives in that draw, bollocks. People like Beth will keep the Glazers forever because they think a new manager solves the problem, says Brian and stuff. Look, we need to stop all this. Like, we need to stop it all anyway, because Beth is one of us. She's part of our community and we look after our own. And secondly, whether it's Beth, Gary Neville or, you know, whoever, we shouldn't be arguing with each other. You know, Jason Wilcox and that, they'll be going like this. For the love of God, please put the blame where it lies. Stop arguing amongst each other, because it just divides us. If I don't want Solskjaer back, don't give me abuse and I won't give you abuse for wanting Solskjaer back. You know, if you wanted Amrim sacked and I wanted him to wait till the end of the season, you know, that's fine. Like, we've got to stop arguing amongst ourselves. This is why nothing ever changes. We drew against Burnley because of the ownership. If we don't get European football, it's on the ownership. If Solskjaer fails, it's on the ownership. We need to keep that, because they're brilliant at dividing us. For many years, many of us have thought they've got accounts, they've got bots. There might be some of them in here. These are people masterminding a multi-billion pound business. Do you think they just ignore the people that put money in their pocket? Do you think they don't try to get people to do that? I mean, I saw Rio's bollocks about Wilcox yesterday. Do you think Rio Ferdinand woke up yesterday morning and thought, I really do think I need to do a clip about how great Jason Wilcox is? I mean, look, he's many things, but he's not stupid. Do you really think Rio Ferdinand woke up and chose, today's the day I'm going to do a video about Wilcox? Of course, he's got somebody in his ear going, if you want to maintain your relationship with Man United, you better start, you know, you've got to play your part, Rio. We spoke in the summer about this link up. He's got a link up with Man United. It's going to go on for years. It's going to be tours. It's going to be interviews. It's going to be, you know, ambassadorship. He has to toe the party line. He can't be trusted because he's part of the party line. But don't blame him. Blame the club. Stop attacking each other. As for Brian saying so many positives in that draw, look, that's standards. That's not something to argue about. That's standards. If you're a United fan that saw a lot of positives in last night's game, you're not alone. I you know, you're not alone. I saw people in the chat, in the comments about my match reaction. I saw people online. If you saw positives in that last night, great. Personally, I didn't see anything massively positive about dropping points to Burnley, who are shit. We're Manchester United. I don't see positives in dropping points to Burnley away. I don't see positives. Our standard should be way higher than that. Sir Alex Ferguson would not see positives in drawing to Burnley. You know, the class of 92, Roy Keane would not see positives in drawing to Burnley. We're Manchester United. I'd rather play shit and win, to be honest. So that's what people don't understand. A formation is not better than another. They all have advantages and disadvantages, says Dark Wolf. Look, I think Amrim played quite boring football because he wanted to not concede goals. I think Amrim knew his midfield was shit, so he had three centre-backs behind it. I think Amrim knew the midfield was shit, so he bypassed it with long balls. You know, it wasn't pretty, but you can understand why he did it. Hi, Mark. Just like in the summer, we all saw a goalkeeper would improve us and they waited till the last day. Now we need a CDM. Are they blind or just broke, says Alpha? Or stupid? Adil says, one more thing. The only thing that supports this club now is the brand. The brand is fading every year with those shambolic decisions we are making, says Adil.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Huge mistake to change managers now. If a decision was needed, it should have happened in the summer. Same issue with Erik ten Hag mid-season. Changes only create more instability, says Adil. I think I remember saying this to you a few weeks ago. Maybe it was before Christmas, maybe it was after. But and I don't know where everybody... I just remember saying it. I can't remember what the consensus was. But yeah. I remember now. A lot of you would get in the chat and say, oh, it's so obvious that Mark's Amrim out. He's definitely Amrim out. And I would go, it's amazing how people can read my mind and read it wrong, because I'm not Amrim out. Like, the reason I wasn't Amrim out is because I'm so tired of sacking managers. But also, I hate sacking managers. And I don't hate anything, but I do hate this. I hate sacking managers in the middle of the season. You write the season off. There's an excuse for writing the season off. And you end up with an interim that you really then have to realise probably won't be an interim if they do well. I hate sacking managers in the middle of the season. You know, Ollie took over from Mourinho. I think that set us back. Ranić took over from Ollie. You know, that was a car crash. And now we're doing it again. I do not like. And also, we brought... No, Amrim came in for Ten Hag as well, didn't he? So we've done it four times now. This club should have a mantra. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. And we love it. We've done it four times. Sacked a manager halfway through the season. And it never works. It's never worked and it never will work. It's chaotic. The best time to change a manager is in the summer, or like we did with Moyes, at the end of a shit season. You know, if you do it at the back end of March because your season's over, fine. The Moyes one actually worked okay. It was okay. And to be fair, the Ten Hag one was okay. We decided to get him in the April, didn't we? But yeah, doing it at the end, doing it in the middle of the season is just, we shouldn't be right. We've effectively wrote off four seasons in the last 10 now by sacking managers halfway through the season. Four seasons out of the last 10. That's nearly 50% of the last 10 years we've written off. What big club can do that? Imagine that. In 10 years, nearly 50% of those seasons we've written them off sacking managers halfway through the season. And we've got the same board doing it. You know, sometimes in life, you don't get on with somebody and you've got to be professional and say, let's find a way through this till the summer. And we haven't done it again. First time I did was special. Second was better, says Harold. You talk about having it off, aren't you? Ollie moved to Manchester before Christmas. Planned, says Ida. I just can't believe that our ownership think bringing Solskjaer back is a good idea. I can't believe they have not read the book on not going back. I can't believe they think this is a good idea. I really can't. It's either going to be the luckiest bit of business they've ever done, or it's going to be an absolute mess. And it's going to be very interesting to watch. I mean, I just hope we get European football out of it. That's all I care. European football, and he pisses off. That's what I want. Worst case scenario, European football, and they give him a 3-year deal. Because I think he's the sort of manager they will back. How would you sack Solskjaer if you gave him the job? He's never going to say anything bad. He's never going to ask for transfers. He's always going to be a lapdog. You can't sack people like that. The only way you sack them is if things go really, really bad. And they did go really bad last time, but I didn't think it would. Like, they were losing silly games like Watford and Leicester. You know, he did really well to get the sack last time, because I actually thought they'd never sack him. Why would you sack a nice guy who's a yes man? I was very surprised he got sacked. And that must have been the players, because I just couldn't believe the amount of games he lost and the sort of games he like Watford to get beat by them as well. So if he gets the job again, I don't think we'll ever get rid of him. There's no reason to get rid of him. He's such a nice guy. He's a yes man. It's really important he doesn't get the full-time job. Really important. But, you know, we've done it before. Look, if they're willing to bring him back, having sacked him and given him 10 million, they're definitely willing to give him a full-time contract. And those people saying, stop being dramatic, it's only interim. Mate, what do you mean stop being dramatic? If I'd said to you 2 months ago, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is coming back as our interim, you'd have said I was crazy. So don't tell me I'm crazy for saying I think we'll give him a full-time contract again. Imagine if we become worse from this point on and don't even finish in the top 10, says Vabath. Given the importance of Aura, why Ollie? He's a likeable guy and a legend, but he's a very weak manager. Why go back to players who sacked you, says Rajaf. I don't think that... I wouldn't say this, but I've seen some people saying it, and we sometimes need to play devil's advocate. We're going for ex-Man United players who aren't even the right ex-Man United players, who are out of job for a reason and desperate for any chance to get back. Harsh, but, you know, if I was going for an ex-player, I'd go for Roy Keane. I would. I think it would be massively exciting. You know the personality. You know he doesn't take any shit. And if we finish in the bottom half, I think it would be enjoyable. But we're not. We're going for the yes men. You know, these aren't top tier ex-United legends. These are, you know, you've got legends, you've got greats. And Carrick and Ollie probably sit, well, Ollie's the legend because of what he did in the new camp. But they're not the top tier players. You know, they're not the top tier ex-players. They're the and also they're yes men, aren't they? They're definitely yes men. Fletcher, Carrick and Solskjaer, they're all yes men. They're not mouthy. They're not troublemakers. They're not opinionated. They're not what we need, probably, to be fair. The last thing this squad needs is arms round their shot. I mean, look, can you imagine the first day of training with Luke Shaw? Ollie's there. Lukey, I'm back. Lukey, come here. Give us a hug. Come on. It doesn't matter how you play. Just play with a smile on your face, you know? And actually, Luke Shaw needs a bloody boot up the arse. Plain shit. Xavi or Ollie, who would you choose, says Sanal? Well, I would choose Xavi because I think that he is a coach and he is available. And it's a project. And he plays a back four. And, you know, it's something new. So I would choose... I mean, Xavi's not my choice, but I would choose Xavi because he is a coach and he is something new. I just don't think we should be treading water with something we've already done because you tend to go backwards doing that. I agree that we need something new, but mid-season would be sacrificing that ideal. I feel they'll use Ollie in the summer if new doesn't work now, says Space. Patrick Lynch says, my mother would describe Wilcox and Berarda as having neither taste nor smell from them. Feels like they're trying to drum up a lot of false positivity. Patrick, I know for a fact, and you can probably find it yourself, there are multiple websites, journalists, content creators spinning the Glazer PR. Shame on them. But it's a fact. You can see it. You don't even need to look that far. People keep sending it me and I keep going, I don't want to watch that shit. But yeah, and they're trying to spin the truth. And look, I don't know what it is. Is it financial? Is it, you know, idiocy? I don't know what makes them want to do it. If you care about Man United, you never do it. And I understand why journalists do it. They've got to pay the mortgage, everything like that. But and they're probably not real fans. But as a Man United fan, I don't know why you would spin anything for the positivity of these owners, considering what they've done to this football club. You know, they must be held accountable. Not Amrim, not Solskjaer. They should be held accountable. Hope you're well, Mark. And United stand like this. All United fans need to put differences aside and stick together. Absolutely, Daniel. You know, absolutely. I don't care. I don't care if you want Amrim sacked, if you wanted Amrim sacked. I don't care if you, you know, want Solskjaer to get a lifetime contract. I don't care if you, you know, want to keep Casemiro. These are minor things. I disagree with you, but they're minor things. And I respect you because you have your opinion. And if you can back it up, that's fine. And in a normal situation, we might have a bit of an argument about it because we've got nothing else to worry about. But at this juncture, I couldn't give a shit if you want Ollie back and to give him a full-time contract. I don't care, because it's minor compared to the real issue at the football club. And it's really strange. It's really strange. It's just coincidence, and I don't believe in coincidence, but it clearly is. On New Year's Eve, we did a video at 8 o'clock, which is a pre-record, where I said the biggest problem at the football club is the board and the owners, and nothing will ever change with them there. And Amrin was still in charge then, and we had no hint of him being sacked. And most of your replies were the same. And here we are, just over a week on from New Year's Eve, and look at the club. It's almost like they watched that video and went, let's prove it. You know, I just don't see the point in arguing about formations or managers or interims or players when they are responsible, but their role in this is so minute compared to this overarching evil that is destroying the football club. And, you know, we might get a new manager bounce. We might get Europe. But as I said, I've already looked at next season and I can't see it. I can't, you know, we're obviously at the moment, we're in the bushes fighting. You know, we can't see the woods for the trees. But I look at next season and I go, how's that going to work? You know, there is no manager in my mind that will make Man United great again with those people above and what that squad is. But look at next season. I'm saying we've got to be in Europe next year. But what makes me think we'll be in Europe the year after? I mean, it's a bit, you know, you look at Newcastle, which is a well-run club with good players. They qualify for Europe and then they always struggle to stay in Europe the following year because it's hard to be in Europe and in the top five in the Premier League. And that's a well-run club. So if we get into Europe in the summer, how do we stay there? Because we're not winning it. So how do we stay there? We double up our games with this squad in a World Cup summer transfer window where we probably need about 9 players and we'll be lucky to get 5. And some players are going to leave that won't be replaced. Next season, even if we get Europe, how do we stay there? How do we stay in the top five? How do we progress? So it's not just about the now, it's about the future. And that's why for me, I find it very hard to be positive. Or, you know, you just got to live in the moment, haven't you? And as a football club, living in the moment really isn't enough, is it? Every football fan wants to see a vision. If you're Birmingham City in the Championship, you're looking at your new stadium and you're looking at being a Premier League club and competing with Villa and in the Premier League, you know? If you're Salford, you're looking to get promoted as well. You've got a vision. What's our vision? Surviving day to day? What's the next drama?
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Marlo says, I don't care who the next manager is. I'm only waiting for the day when we have a team without Casemiro, Delo and Shaw. And Rajaf says, could the sacking of Amorim spark the beginning of the end for Ineos? I'm seeing way more comments online speaking out against the owners than before. Look, it is a bit toxic out there, Rajaf, but I think what this Wilcox madness and Sir Jim Radcliffe backing Wilcox has done is it's, for the first time in a long time, it's really put the expose on the ownership. Less so the Glazers, because they've been operating in the background and we all know that they're shit. But Ineos, in the space of 2 years, have, you know, massively failed. Multiple things, multiple embarrassments, multiple, you know, you sack half your workforce to save money. I mean, this is the hypocrisy of Sir Jim Radcliffe. He sits there saying, we've got to make difficult decisions. And you sack half your workforce, ordinary, good working people. And when I say ordinary, I mean they're not on 300 grand a week. They're on like, you know, 50 grand a year or something like that. So you sack half your workforce under the grounds of saving money. We're desperate to save money. But at the same time, you spend £550 million. £550 million, by the way. We won't have saved £550 million by sacking half the workforce. So you sack half the workforce, you make them redundant, you know, you mess their lives up to save money. And then in the space of 2 years, you spend £550 million on players for managers you've already sacked, as well as another £50 million on sacking those managers. And you put the club in a worse position than it was than when you came in. So everything we've saved on sacking half our workforce, we could have kept them people, not sacked two managers and actually stuck to a project. And we'd be in a better financial position. So we've sacked half our workforce, spent over half a billion, and we're in a worse position. That's Sir Jim Radcliffe's legacy, master businessman. Tell me I'm wrong. And that's before you get on to what Wilcox and Berarda have done. That is a fact. We've made these efficiency savings by cutting half of our club in half. And then we've spent more than that throwing it in the fire, you know? Chong says, Goldbridge discovers the word aura. How many times do you want to repeat it? Well, it was about half an hour ago, mate, and I said it about six times on a two-minute point. Could the sacking have outdone that one? After last night, I'd stick with Carrick. He did okay, says Eddie Mack. I mean, look, I still would like it to be Carrick. I think if Carrick comes in, we don't get the song. We don't get the expectation that we're going to win eight games in a row. I think there's a reality to Carrick. He's a midfielder. We've never really seen him given this opportunity. We don't know what his style of play is beyond it's a back four. Could be a back three, actually. I think he has done that before. But I don't really care about three or four. What I care about is something new. He's a midfielder. And also with Carrick, I think it's a bit more real. With Ollie, it's buzz. It's vibe. It's Ollie's at the wheel. We're going to win 10 games in a row. That won't happen. So with Carrick, I think if we lose a game or two, people will be more realistic about what the interim is. I think the expectation with Ollie is going to outweigh the reality, which will create more toxicity. Also, I think Carrick's a safer choice in the fan base. There is half the fan base really, really want Ollie and half the fan base think it's absolutely embarrassing. And that's never a good mix. Whereas I think Carrick's a safer pair of hands for stability. There's a lot of people who want Solskjaer and they're excited about it. But there's a lot of people who find it embarrassing and don't want it. And also, you've also got to bear in mind the media. I don't know whether you've picked up on this around the world, but in the UK, beyond the Man United press, we are getting rinsed. We are getting rinsed by big personalities, big journalists. We are getting absolutely rinsed for bringing Solskjaer back. The amount of people who are saying it's absolutely embarrassing and pointing the finger at Ineos, by the way. You know, external journalists to Man United are absolutely rinsing us. You know, bringing Solskjaer back, unless he can go and win eight games in a row, they're gonna jump on him very, very quickly. And that's going to backfire on Ineos as well. So, look, that's why I'm quite relaxed about it. Because if he comes in and does well, we'll get Europe. If he comes in and does bad, Ineos are going to pay for it. And how many more times can they pay for it before they get fucked off, you know? How much longer can they stay in power? I mean, I know there aren't any protests yet and I know nothing's happening, but how much more can it go wrong before it gets to a point where they've got to go, you know? I don't have the answer to that question. Player power is set to return and squad clear out's a thing of the past, says Wookie. As losing last night doesn't probe anyone, right or wrong, it just proves that our problems are well above the manager's tactics, says Owen. Yeah, look, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. We've still got time. I want to talk about Sesko and I want to talk about the criticism of Sesko. But last night, I think there was a lot of toxicity and a lot of falling out because I think there was people who really thought the back four was going to work so they could go, that's why we got rid of Amorim. I'm glad that didn't happen, by the way. As much as I wanted to win, I think that would have been a really childish argument. But you can flip that and the pro-Amorim people are going, ha ha, told you so, it wasn't the formation. Again, this is just a distraction. He didn't get sacked because of results. He got sacked because Wilcox wanted him to change the formation and wouldn't buy in players. But in a way, that result last night is probably, it's not a good thing because we needed the win, but it hopefully ends that debate about formation because I don't want to spend the next 6 months with people going, I told you so, I told you so. I don't think the formation massively matters when you haven't got a midfield. I would rather we played the back four, but we haven't got a team to do it. Amorim, I don't think his 3-4-3, we ever saw what it was about because trust me, those midfielders weren't good enough for it and he didn't have the wing backs for it. So the formation argument is just basic, childish, immature. Like, we haven't got the players for either formation. So in a way, not winning last night sort of kills that conversation. You know, at least people can't go around saying it's the formation. As for Sesko, look, again, I think it's distraction. I think the people who are moaning about Tim Sherwood and Gary Neville and Sky, you are being distracted. We drew against Burnley and we've got shit owners. I wouldn't waste a minute on Sky Sports' analysis of Sesko. What's that got? How's that going to help me? Getting mad about what they said about Sesko, does that change the fact we've got shit owners? Does it get us 2 points more against Burnley? No, it's just distraction. Let people have their opinions. The one that caught my eye the most was probably Tim Sherwood's, because he said at halftime, apparently, Sesko's not fit to wear a Man United shirt. And then even when he'd scored two goals, he still said he's a load of shit or something like that, or he's not good enough. Look, I'll tell you the problem with Sesko, right? I like Sesko. He's a work in progress. He's a learner driver. He's like Heaven. He's like Dorgu. He's like Lacey will be. These players will have bad games and good games. And in this environment that's been created by Glinios, we have an angry, impatient environment. And that's why I think bringing Solskjaer back could go wrong, because people think, revision-wise, Solskjaer's just going to win a load of games. And if he doesn't, people will go, well, he's shit. We've got no patience in this football club at all. As soon as there's one bad result, it's the end of the world. We've seen it with Amrin, we've seen it with Ten Hag, and we'll see it again. There is no patience in this fan base at all, and it's not even our fault. There's no patience in the fan base because we're a great football club that's far from being great. So when you've got a learner driver up front and he misses a chance, people go, Tesco, bag of shit, rubbish, no good, right? So he scored two goals last night. Next time he misses a sitter and we don't win, he'll be a bag of shit again. That's the environment that, these owners have created at this football club. So the criticism of Sesko is understandable because the environment that's been created by the owners. However, this is why I don't criticise young players, because young players will be inconsistent. And Sesko is a young player, the same as Rasmus, the same as Dorgu, the same as Heaven. They will have good games and they will have bad games. Patience and nurturing doesn't exist at this football club. So when I read things like this from Ruben Amorim, from Fabrizio Romano, this is where I get very, very concerned, because again, this is coming from our owner, who doesn't seem to have a bloody clue about what Manchester United is all about. Let me just see if I can find it, because I've completely lost it now. Basically, it was along the lines of, and Fabrizio Romano said it, that Sir Jim Radcliffe wants to bring a manager in that will promote youth, and that will be a key part of United's philosophy. And I'm like, does he not watch football? Like that, I think it's almost like United say, Fabrizio, put it out there that Sir Jim Radcliffe wants a manager that's going to promote youth. Why? Cheap? I mean, why are we obsessed with promoting youth? Like, we are a club that promotes youth, but we're not a club that's good at it anymore. We need to build a team that can promote youth. We don't need to get out of our problem by promoting youth. The class of 92 came into a team that was full of experience, full of winners, you know. And Sir Jim Radcliffe is out there going, I want a manager that's going to promote youth, like he thinks that a shit team's going to get good by playing kids. It won't happen. You need to build a fucking team first, mate, before you start bringing in the next Caicedo. And that's the problem, isn't it? We've got Favel going round, going, get this young player, because that's literally his expertise. But we haven't got a first team that's capable of promoting them and nurturing them. I mean, how long before Lacey starts playing every week and everyone's going, oh, he's too inconsistent. Oh, he's, yeah. We've got to build a team. I'm massive on United being about the youth, but it has to go hand in hand with a team that can promote them. And it seems to me that Sir Jim just wants to follow Chelsea. Let's buy loads of young players and then not develop them. And you look, and that's why I go back to Sesko and say, that's the problem, isn't it? Because there is this issue with Sesko with some fans, but it's because he's young and he's not ready. And people want the ready, you know? And actually, Sesko would be a lot better if we had Ollie Watkins, because Ollie Watkins would be experienced, then he'd be under less pressure, and then he'd develop quicker. But we just want to bring the young players in and burn them, when actually we need some experienced players with them. Also, just a hot take on Sesko as well. I think that the reason some people don't like Sesko is just literally the eye test. You think about Peter Crouch, right? Peter Crouch, as a footballer, wasn't as easy on the eye as Ronaldo. And I'm not talking about looks. I'm talking about the way he plays. Like, Sesko is a little bit tall and gangly compared to, you know, your traditional striker, right? So he's not as easy on the eye. And I think subconsciously some people go, he's trash. Because he's a bit like Crouch. Like, Crouch just doesn't look like a footballer at times. But Peter Crouch scored a lot of goals. He scored a lot of goals throughout his whole career, whether it was at Spurs or Liverpool or England. He still scored a load of goals. So be very careful of writing Sesko off just because he doesn't please you in the way that he moves or the way that he's quite gangly. He can still score a lot of goals. And I still think he's got a lot of potential. But as I've said about Sesko before, he is not...
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the States in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Prolific in his previous part of his career. He might become prolific at Man United, but he's not a goal a game striker anyway. So we're definitely working with the work in progress, but we don't have the patience for it, you know. 60 minutes of Bruno at 10 and our flop 9 bags 2 goals and the best shots on target in the game for all teams all season. 6 Dorgu assist from left 2, says Kevin. Promote youth sounds like Bluco. Resale value, says Rajaf. Thoughts on Neville against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer appointments, as Rory. I thought I'd seen him say he's not against it. So I don't know whether he... I don't know anything to the contrary, Rory. Bring in Carrick and Fletcher. They are the brains, says the Fergie way. The only one Ollie so United strand gets a haircut, says Dave. Bang. Welcome to Members Club. The board are not good enough, but we're angry that they sacked a manager that has proven to not be good enough and doesn't like finding other solutions, says Sir P. But that's not why, mate. Can we just stop this now? I think this is where it ends up getting toxic. People like you aren't intelligent enough to figure out something, so you spout shit. Now, I don't know whether you're being paid by the Glazers, but he didn't get sacked because he wasn't good enough. That is a myth. It is a PR load of bollocks that's coming out of the club. He got sacked because Wilcox asked him to change his formation and told him he wasn't going to get any players in January. If Ruben Amorim had been Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and a yes man had said, okay, we'll play a back four and we won't buy anyone in January, he'd still be here now. He didn't get sacked on results, did he? I mean, I can't believe I have to explain this to people, right? Jason Wilcox said, play a back four and you're not getting any signings. If Amorim had said, okay, he'd still be here. So how can he be sacked on results? He got sacked because he said, I'm not playing a back four and I need players. So sack me or back me. And they sacked him. But people say ignore it. But I think it's really important because there are people out there who genuinely think that Ineos sacked him on bad results. And he didn't get sacked on bad results. He got sacked because he kicked back against Wilcox, who said no signings in January and you need to play a back four. Do you reckon Ollie's working for free, says Breaking Badness? Apparently he's going to put the bins out as well. Keane would make everyone cry. Imagine the leak, says John. Mix Music, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much. Hypocrisy says, get rid of Shaw, Delo, Casemiro and we look better. J-Dead says, what can we expect from Ineos? They're mismanaging 5 other teams across 3 sports. They're product-driven. Think football follows after selling merch, says J-Dead. We're screwed, Mark. Rest of the season, PTSD, says Eddie. I actually found it more stressful under Amorim than I find it at the moment. And I don't know whether anybody else agrees with me on that. I think we should have kept Amorim till the summer and we should have backed him in the January transfer window. But it was very stressful. You know, it was really uncomfortable. It was very stressful. I must admit, last night, I wouldn't say enjoyed it. I don't like I don't think we played that well, and you know, we didn't win, but it's definitely less stressful. It's, you know what it is? It's nice to see the majority know what the real problem is at Man United, because I think a week ago, the majority didn't. I think a week ago, the majority wanted to pin it on Bruno or Amrim, whereas I think today, the majority know that Wilcox and Berarda and Sir Jim and Glazers are 100% responsible for why we're so shit. And that makes me feel a little bit more relaxed, really. That you know, obviously the club's in a shit place, but it was in a shit place a week ago. I think there's been an awakening in the fan base, and I think people see it for what it is. And the wider media does as well. You know, as I said, some of you might not live in the UK, and I don't know what it's like in your countries, but the wider media are rinsing Ineos. They're absolutely ridiculing them. And that wasn't happening a week ago. So look, I'm not saying it will lead to anything, but at the bare minimum, if they want to stop being rinsed, we better start winning. After the next 180 minutes of football, our season is over. I can't do another rebuild. It's exhausting, says Dave. Look, that's a great point. I'm really excited about Brighton on Sunday because I think it's the biggest game of the season. The FA Cup is really important to us. You win it, which is a positive, but you're also in Europe. This is exactly what Ten Hag did a couple of years ago. So the FA Cup is massively important for us. And we've always been a bit of a cup team in the last 10 years. So Brighton on Saturday. Look, Brighton on Sunday and then Man City on Saturday and then Arsenal the following Sunday. Those three games are the three biggest games of our season. If we can win two of them, we'll be all right. And if I had to choose two, it would be one league game and the cup. I'd rather not go out of the cup and beat Arsenal and Man City. No, I think beating Brighton and winning one of the league games will keep us in the hunt for fifth and in the cup. Whereas if we go out the cup and win against those two, okay, we'll be in a strong position in the league. But as a Slovenian, I'm proud of Sesko showed yesterday. I hope he can keep it going. He has the talent for sure. Love the community. It's a serious talk. Lovely stuff, mate. Thanks for being part of it. I personally think they sacked him so they don't have to sign any players in the window, says Chris B. Could be. When will our brand value fade? 10 years, maybe, says Hypocrisy. Mate, the brand value is never going to stop when they can release a kit that looks like something Cantona wore when we were good and everybody goes out and buy it, including myself. You know, that brand value is never going to die. They release new tops all the time as well. There's another one out yesterday and people buy it. Fletcher said last night that Lacey has battled a lot with injuries in recent years. Should that concern us, says Stuart? It should concern us because he's had a lot of injuries. And, you know, it's certainly something in the back of my mind. Look, he might never get injury. He might never get injured injuries again, but he has had a lot of injuries. What do you think was the major downfall for the Ollie era, apart from the Glazers, says Ayush? I thought his football was quite basic and I think it got figured out. It worked really well, the COVID year. But I think people realise that we sit deep and counter fast. Ollie had quite high possession, though. Like, some people live too literally, right? Ollie was a counter-attacking team, and then people say, but he averaged 55% possession. Well, that's not high. In the last 10 years, Man United have never averaged above 55% possession in a season, collectively. Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Liverpool regularly average over 60. So even 55% possession isn't good. But Ollie did have 55% possession at Man United. So people say, well, how can he be a counter-attacking team with 55% possession? And I would say, well, 55 is not actually that high. It's not. Like, Pep was doing it with 75-80. So 55% possession isn't high. But having said that, we also played crab football, remember? Remember the term crab football to me, to you? Sideways, sideways. So what we'd do with Solskjaer is we'd get the goal on the counter. And then what we do is we go side to side with a deep line. We can pass side to side. So possession can be not very attacking possession as well. And under Ollie, we were quite good at going side to side, you know, to me, to you, and then hitting it long, looking for the ball in behind. So that's basically the way we used to play. Why did it go wrong? I think it went wrong because the players... I remember it. Like, can't remember all the leaks about how basic the training was, how basic the tactics were. Basically, the players down tools on him. you know, I don't know how he ended up getting the sack, really, because, you know, he's such a yes man and he likes everybody and everyone likes him. But I think the players got fed up a bit, to be honest with you. I think the players got fed up of, I don't know, I mean, where did the PE teacher stuff start from? I don't, you know, there's revisionism and there's reality. There was good and bad, but he did end up getting sacked. Excited for the F1 documentary to come out to take my mind off United for a bit, but just remembered Ineos own my favourite team, Mercedes. I hate my life, says Shellen. Mr. Saunders says, playing devil's advocate, I don't believe this, but are the board morons seeing that the attacking stats have gone up from their summer plan and think that worked, we will wait until the summer and focus on the midfield this time? Well, it's a stupid way to run a football club. We lost 17 points to 12th and lower. That's mad, says Jordan. And do you think Amrim came to United to expose the owners and the board to try and change the culture, says Jeremy. I've already answered that. Just to go back on that previous point, why are people surprised that we've dropped so many points to teams in the bottom half of the table? Like, it's very, very obvious, and it has been for years, we play well against teams that attack us. So Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, Bournemouth, Brighton. We play well against teams that attack us because they leave the space for the counter and the ball in behind. We play bad against low blocks. Most teams in the bottom half of the table are desperate and not very good, so they play low blocks. So it doesn't surprise me that we've dropped so many points against teams in the bottom half. Mark thought the days of getting angry are gone, not knowing babyface is returning for press conferences as chance. And Wilcox also said McTominay, well, if I remember rightly, I thought Solskjaer's press conferences are really boring, aren't they? Ranić's were great. Ten Hag's were okay. Amrim's were good. I think Solskjaer's, Mourinho's were brilliant. I think Solskjaer's press conferences were quite boring. I can't remember. Wilcox also said McTominay when Ten Hag didn't want to and brought in Ugarte. Also remember his yearning for a left back and getting Reguilon best in class, says Mohawk. Oh, Wilcox's mistakes are plentiful. Why do I feel like if we get beat by Brighton, then the light switch goes off for the rest of the season, says Average Angler. And Whoop says, would you sacrifice some lubby-dubby time for 1 year for Glinios to be sacked? Okay, I don't know what that means. Sesko benefits playing in a front two. People don't seem to realise the talent of Xerxes. Well, less disjointed in attack. Give him a run of games, says Class of 99. I thought he was crap last night, though, Xerxes. I thought Mount was crap as well. I don't know whether Mount's fit, but I don't think either of them did well off the bench yesterday. You guys are being too harsh on Wilcox, says Rov. He's a legend. He has a whole Premier League medal holding Alan Shearer and Kevin Callagher's shorts. And Rory says he doesn't support them bringing Solskjaer in. But I literally heard a quote from Neville saying that he can't... I can't remember what the exact words were, that he doesn't have a problem with them bringing Solskjaer in. So that's... I don't know whether I believe you, Rory, because I literally heard it. Anyway, look, I've overrun again. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got Beth on the show at 2. So I want to see you there giving support, because I'm not having that. We're a community. We do disagree. We do have conversation, but none of the abuse and none of the bloody ridiculousness. You will get deleted. We're not being that, and we shouldn't be that. We are not going to get distracted by infighting when the real issues are the owners of the football club. And that you need to keep that in your head. Why are you arguing amongst each other? Why? Like, I am not going to argue with somebody that wants Solskjaer in. I can disagree and say, I think it's a mistake and it's ridiculous and it's embarrassing. But if you want it, you do you. Like, I know it's there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of frustration, but ask yourself why. It's because of the owners. That's where it needs to be. Okay, thanks everyone for watching. 7 o'clock tonight, because I'm doing Arsenal-Liverpool, aren't I? So it's a 7 o'clock show tonight, not 8 o'clock. So 7 o'clock tonight, I will be live with you, because it is not an 8 o'clock, because I'm doing Arsenal-Liverpool on That's Football. Great show as always, everybody. Thank you so much. These therapy sessions, we need them, don't we? Please do smash a like and subscribe. I will speak to you on the next one. Take care, stay safe, and thanks for watching.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.